SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 2 hours you've all been waiting for is finally here.
I had to jump in, man. The streets are hot. I had to jump in here quick.
I mean, the streets are so hot.
Moneyline, with the dynamic duo of Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh.
But you usually have some plans when you're rocking solo.
Really, dude? Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
All right, let me just start with this. How good is the NBA then right now? How good is the NBA play postseason right now?
It's
so fun. Is it not delivering every night?
And I woke up again in the middle of the night to see that score and go, oh my goodness. And then when I saw the highlights of how it ended, wow. Exactly.
Insanity. Insanity. I mean, the fact that none of them covered.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Who's ready for action today on a Tuesday afternoon post-Memorial Day? I am. I'm Donnie Wrightside here. Kevin's going to be off here as typically for Tuesday, Wednesdays, then joining us back on Thursday. So a solo mission today. And boy, do we have a lot to get to across the sporting landscape. Of course, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics series, which was epic all the way through to game number 7. Now, we weren't on the air, obviously, here on Moneyline or even the early line, where I got to talk a lot about what happened in game 6 of that series and how it pertained to game 7. And now, as we look forward to the finals, the NBA finals, the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat, because it seems as to me we are getting a lot of disrespect once again towards the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler and the Heat here. Hey, look. Game 7 in Boston, what'd you want from them? Yeah, how about a victory? And they provided that here. The Philadelphia 76ers moving on from Doc Rivers and hiring Nick Nurse, former head coach of the Toronto Raptors. We'll get into that. And also, if you guys haven't been following, I don't really think it's that big of a deal, but burner accounts that we always joke, right, about Kevin Durant and athletes. And come on, some of guys have rabbit ears. They can't use their own account. So what do? Make up account. Bob in Cincinnati, Dave in Detroit, Steve 123-980-121. Yeah, Kevin Durant's the best player I've ever seen in my life. And it turns out that that's actually Kevin Durant. Well, an NBA ref is doing that here, but not necessarily in the manner that we thought. More of a manner of, let's just say, hey, you know what? I'm going to stick up for myself here. We're not going to do any damage. You know, I'm not betting on games. I'm not pushing the totals over. I'm not seeking information. It's basically to say, hey, the refs are doing a good job, including myself. Back off here. Here's what the deal is. So I don't really know what the NBA is going to uncover outside of saying, hey, look, guys, don't run burners out here that you're actually tweeting with. If you want a burner account just to surf around Twitter, go ahead and do it. But just don't tweet out it where people can find out that it's actually you. If you guys are into hockey, just like the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference have been settled in the NBA and we're lining up for a championship round starting Thursday, the NHL will begin their championship round, the Stanley Cup Final, on Saturday. And that's between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Florida Panthers here as they set it up in a very closely contested series is what we're anticipating with the lines on that. We'll get to that and much, much more. Also, if you guys were hopping around the news and checking things out, talked extensively this morning on the early line about Jimmy Garoppolo and his contract and what that means moving forward to the Raiders. Now, I've been a staunch opponent here of Jimmy Garoppolo and what that actually means for him. And what are we doing, Raiders? And that's where we're going to leave it here. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But also, you guys know what I like to do. Tuesday, there is a full Major League Baseball slate today. I want to cap every single game on the card. See if we can uncover some gems. There are some interesting pitchers on the mound. Some teams that should be able to hit. If we want to line up a round robin today on a RBI prop. Or even, I want to have some fun here with a run scoring prop as well. I got a couple of those that I was looking at today, which I do think make a lot of sense. And also, recapping what happened on the Major League Baseball diamond over the weekend. And how we can use that to our advantage today. Which does include, look, I know it's hard to do this. Play on a Sunday night game in Atlanta, which the Braves did. Fly out to the West Coast, no day off, and play the Oakland Athletics. And they lost 7-2. So it's one of the few times that the Major League Baseball schedule really set up well for the Oakland Athletics, and we're able to get them a victory here. I don't think that's going to be the case tonight, because looking at some numbers based on the last 30 days in Major League Baseball, the Atlanta Braves lineup should really get after J.P. Sears tonight. Enough for a team total? Probably. But we're what are we sitting around? That five number, which means it takes six to cash. Now, even though you can bang around a baseball out there, getting six to cash is somewhat daunting, even though you have a full nine at-bats on the road in Oakland. They didn't wake up yesterday, but I played an RBI prop yesterday, a round robin parlay prop. And in that Oakland Athletics game, I had two hitters left in my lineup for the day, which I needed one of two to have a winning day. But if I got two and two, that would have been sensational. And yesterday in that game, do you know what I had? Two runs scored there. So go figure this, right? I needed two players to get RBIs in that game, right? Two of them. The Braves scored two runs. So what are the chances of two separate guys being my separate guys in that lineup? Usually not very good. But for once, the sun was shining down on your boy DRS, and we were able to get RBIs of Matt Olson and also Sean Murphy. Sometimes things do work out, and it turned into a profitable day for me, but let's make it a profitable day for everybody. We got a lot to go over. Heat Celtics recap, we'll do that next, followed by an NBA preview, hot topics, and away we go into a full Major League Baseball card. Don't go anywhere. It's Moneyline on a Tuesday. You don't want to miss out. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one here in full effect on Moneyline on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Donnie Wrightside here, SiriusXM Channel 159. The phone lines are open if you want to get involved, have some fun, talk about what you did over the Memorial Day weekend. What did you bet? Did you win? And also, how can we win some money tonight and really get after it? Now, I do want to start and spend some time here on the Heat's Celtics series and wrap that up. But as I'm saying through Twitter here, a couple pictures yesterday of Jack Harlow showing up in Celtics gear in Boston, even though we thought he was always repping his boy Tyler Hero. Did I see he put out a song about Tyler Hero, or called Tyler Hero, I should say, back in 2020. Not staying thick as thieves there as Harlow steps out. And the Heat promptly bang on the Boston Celtics. Now, let's go over the series and how it played out here, because it was entertaining, to say the least, right? Game number one, 123-116 victory by the Miami Heat. It's like, wow, that's a stunner. That's really impressive. Like, the Miami Heat are here to stay. They beat the Bucks. They beat the New York Knicks. And away we go with the win at Boston. Case closed. Job well done. Now you probably head back to Miami with a 1-1 series, but mission accomplished. Not the case here. They go out and beat the Celtics 111-105 in game two, and it was game on now. Where you figured at this point there's a legitimate chance that the Boston Celtics are never going to play another game on their home court in 2023. Then we get down in Miami. That 128-102 beating that the Heat gave the Boston Celtics, and had many people questioning if the Boston Celtics had actually quit on the season and that was going to be a wrap. Jaylen Brown was moving on. And by the way, Jaylen Brown, eligible for a five-year, $295 million contract. That's unbelievable. But that's neither here nor there. So he's got a bright future ahead of him, to say the least. But maybe we thought after game three, it was going to be cut short. But the Celtics really battled in Game 4 and gave it to the Miami Heat, walking away with a 17-point victory as they headed back to Boston. That was also the game that we saw post-game press conference. Jimmy Butler sit up there and say, hey, you know what? Nobody's panicking. We're drinking beer. We're drinking a little wine. We're going to put on some music. And if anything, this should be a life lesson that we can't take these things for granted, and we got to close the Boston Celtics out. They're just not going to quit. So then we go back up for a Game 5 in Boston. And we saw a 110-97 victory by the Boston Celtics to send it to Game 6, which was Saturday night, Memorial Day weekend. And if anybody's tuned into that game as well, the Boston Celtics were favored once again to win that game. Now, if I told you that line was 3, 3.5, 2.5, depending on where you got it and when you got it, you'd say to yourself, well, if the Miami Heat cover that game, they'll probably win it, right? There's no way that the Miami Heat can lose that game and probably end up with a cover. It'll be hard to thread that needle. 104-103 with one of the more miraculous endings you'll ever see. Three free throw attempts by Jimmy Butler. Splish, splash, splash. 1 point lead. Seconds left in the game. A 3-point shot by Marcus Smart that rattles around. And out of nowhere, Derek White comes in with the perfect bounce at the right time, tips and lays it in, basically with 0.1 on the clock. They win a game 6 and force a game 7. Now, I would have loved to have talked about this if we had a show, let's just say, on Sunday or Monday before game 7 because of how crazy and improbable that win actually was. And also, more importantly, how deflating that victory was going to be, or should I say the loss was going to be, for the Miami Heat. Boston knew they stole one. Maybe the Angels would be on their side, right? Unbelievable. How could you get a team off the mat knowing you were at home and within a split second of walking off the court with a Game 6 victory, 4-2 series, an extra couple days off, Memorial Day weekend down in Miami, time to party, blow off some steam before you head out to Denver. And that wasn't the case. And you figured you were heading into a hornet's nest in Boston for Game 7. Why? The Celtics are a pretty good franchise, obviously. The Celtics have championship pedigree of the past. Now, granted, I believe they won a championship in 86. And then whenever the Doc Rivers won, what was that, 2000? I can't remember the exact date here, or year. I'm going to say around like 2008 or so. It's been a long time since Boston has tasted success. And also, if you're looking at like the past 40 years or so, two titles. That's not very Boston Celtics-esque. As they were playing in the 80s, it felt like every other year for a championship. And then, of course, in the Bob Cousy run, along with the, you know, Bill Russell days and Red Auerbach, they were winning them just about every single year at that time. But it's been a while. But you felt those old ghosts of the old Boston Garden coming back in this one. The parquet floor, the dead spots, Larry Bird, ML Carr, you know, everybody rising to the occasion, including those fans in that small bandbox that they used to call the Boston Garden with no air conditioning, playing in late spring on a hot day. And the Miami Heat went into that building and smoked the Boston Celtics. Absolutely phenomenal performance by the Miami Heat. It's one of those, if you felt to yourself, like, you are going to catch it right away from the Boston Celtics. And that wasn't the case. The Heat won the first quarter, 22-15. Okay, bad first quarter by the Celtics. They should be able to rebound in the second quarter. They didn't. 30-26. So now you had a 7-point win in the first quarter, coupled by a 4-point win in the second, which would give you an 11-point advantage at the break. And I believe it said during the season, was it 20 or 40? It was like 40 games, the past 40 games, whatever it was. The statistic read basically, if the Heat have a 10-point lead at the half, it's game, set, match. You saw the Boston Celtics then come out in the third quarter. They actually won the third quarter, 25-24, but it still felt insignificant because that lead was still double digits heading into the fourth quarter. Then the Heat just put a stranglehold on that game, 27-18 fourth quarter. Now, this is the interesting part if you're looking at the box score, right? This is what I love, too. Jimmy Butler, 43 minutes. Caleb Martin, 45 minutes. Bam Adebayo, 43 minutes. That's how it's done. That's what you're supposed to do. And this game was technically getting out of whack in the fourth quarter. Duncan Robinson played 20 minutes. And by the way, had a points prop on him over 8.5 plus 100. That one cashed in. Kyle Lowry, 24 minutes in this game. He only scored 7 points, but chipped in with 7 rebounds and 5 assists and was a plus 26 in the game. That led everybody. That's a veteran presence coming in. But I can't dismiss this in game number 7 on the road as a secondary option. Caleb Martin was fantastic. 11 of 16 from the floor, which included 4 of 6 from three-point range, and chipped in with 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Turned it over only one time, was a plus 14, which equated into 26 points. That was absolutely sensational. And if you're going to be a Batman like Jimmy Butler, you need a Robin in these type games, and they got one from Martin with 26 points. Now, if you're looking for the Miami Heat, you know it's not necessarily live and die by the three-point shot with them. They shot 50% from three-point range, 14 of 28, but how about this? They shot 49% from the floor, which is great, but getting to the free throw line, that was a challenge. They won this game by 19 points and only shot 6 free throws, making 5 of those. Now, if we flip it over to the Boston Celtics and how that panned out for them, Jason Tatum twisted his ankle on the opening possession. Still played 42 minutes, tried to gut it out, but he wasn't the same. 14 points, still gave you 11 rebounds, but only 5 of 13 from the floor, which included 1 of 4 from three-point range. Jaylen Brown, who again is due for an upgrade to his contract in the name of 5 years, $295 million. So 295 divided by 5, that's close to $60 million per year. You know what he did in Game 7? 43 minutes, 8 of 23 from the field, 1 of 9 from three-point range. 8 rebounds, 5 assists, a minus 17 with 19 points. That can't be done. The Celtics shot in that game 21% from three-point range after the previous three games basically shooting the lights out. That's the way it goes. Live by the three, die by the three. We're going to talk about an NBA Finals preview coming up next right here on
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on Moneyline for Tuesday afternoon post-Memorial Day weekend. Hope everybody enjoyed their time. You know, poured out a little of the brew or the cocktails for all the people that really gave everything for this country. For the reason why, I could come on the air and talk on the radio. We can watch sports and we can live in freedom there. So it was a wonderful weekend overall. And in the Northeast, it was fantastic weather as well. So let's get down to it here. Donnie Wrightside once again here on a solo mission, Sirius XM channel 159. If you want to get involved in the show, it's easy, 844-843-6879. But let's take a look at the NBA Finals moving forward here. If we're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, the Denver Nuggets series price is a minus 480. The Miami Heat, if you like the dog, a plus 330 price here to win the series. Now, we've seen similar posted numbers here in the past. Now, quite frankly, I don't remember exactly what it was when the Miami Heat squared up against the Milwaukee Bucks, but I'm pretty sure it was a number that was, yeah, it looks like the Milwaukee Bucks are going to walk right over the Miami Heat. Weren't able to do so. Heat blasted that team. Round number 2 against the New York Knicks. I believe it was a little bit closer in that one as the series posted number. Round 3, what was it, high? It's 560, minus 550, minus 560 for the Boston Celtics over the Miami Heat. So even more disrespect now coming over the top for the Denver Nuggets and the Miami Heat. I do want to start here with this, because a lot of people out there listening are handicappers, gamblers, and, you know, you don't have to be a professional in order to do that. You certainly have a weighted opinion. If you've been thinking things through, what makes the most sense? We have this conversation quite a bit in sports. Rested and ready versus coming off a massive series, playing good basketball, and you don't want to cool the flames just yet. But if we're looking from a Denver Nuggets perspective, they were the number one overall seed in the Western Conference and really proved that throughout the process here over the first three rounds out in the West. Dispatching of the Minnesota Timberwolves, then the Phoenix Suns, and then the Los Angeles Lakers. And they actually swept the Los Angeles Lakers. A couple hotly contested games, but that doesn't matter. They won and got those through. Now, as we take a look at the Miami Heat, 5 games in round 1, which was unbelievable. I'm skipping the play-in games here. which they lost one and won one just to get that eighth seed. They're technically the seventh seed, but didn't play so well in that first game against the Atlanta Hawks and gave the Hawks that seventh seed. They took the eighth seed here. Now, as remember, the Hawks got knocked out by the Boston Celtics. But the Miami Heat going on the road to take on the Milwaukee Bucks, had a couple double-digit deficits in the second half, I believe in games 4 and 5, and still won those. So quite impressive for the Heat. And then again, dispatching of the New York Knicks on their way through the Boston Celtics. They played last night. And if anybody was watching social media, which is always a lot of fun to do, you saw the tweets commencing, how could you do this? You're jinxing yourself. I can't believe this is actually happening. It was that the Miami Heat, through their logistics team, which is their, travel partners. Hey, guys, if you win in Boston, we're not flying you back to Miami. You're going straight out to Denver. The NBA Finals start on a Thursday. You're going to fly in there on a Tuesday, get acclimated, get a shoot around in. Wednesday, field again, rest up those bones. And Thursday, you get after it in an effort to win a world championship. And some people are saying, you can't do that. You can't release those plans. That's unbelievable that that took place. Stop the madness. Stop it. Every team does that. And also, it's a great motivating factor, too. You're sitting in the locker room after game 6 for the Miami Heat. And Eric Spoelstra goes, I wish we could play Game 7 right here, right now. Because I want to get this bad taste out of my mouth. I think we're ready to roll. I wish it was today, but it's not. They had to play in Boston. So what a better marketing tool to tell your players, which a lot of teams do this. We're not packing long term here. We're packing for a game. We're going to win this, then we're coming home in like a series, right? But in the Miami Heat's case, they actually said, hey, look, we're going up there. Bring a suit. Bring some loungewear. Maybe a hoodie or two. No. Pack for the long haul. We're going to be in Denver for at least a week. So when we leave here on this flight, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, you're not going to come home for about a week and a half. Ooh, that hits home. Like, oh, man, coach is serious? Okay. He expects us to win this game. So do we now. Now, there was never a thought process behind the scenes, to be honest, that the Miami Heat were coming into like games 5, 6, and 7 as they didn't think they could win. The vibes were always good. And that starts with your head coach, Eric Spoelstra, and filters through to your leader in Jimmy Butler. Every time you saw the Miami Heat lose a game in that series when they had a chance to clinch it, they basically said, yeah, it didn't happen. So what? We'll get it done next game. We're not even stressed. Even right up to Game 7, where the Celtics, again, close to a double-digit favorite, weren't able to get it done. And the Miami Heat, when the final gun sounded last night, there wasn't a mad mob scene celebration at midcourt. Jimmy Butler wasn't running into the stands with his, jersey twisting around like a helicopter, right? He wasn't doing any of that stuff. They basically dapped up, got their awards, went back into the locker room and said, okay, now we came to do what we were supposed to do, and that's win a championship. So the question is here, are the Denver Nuggets, who haven't played in well over a week now, they're rested, they're ready, they probably have keyed in on the Miami Heat for days now, figuring that they were just waiting to close them out in games 4, 5, or 6 before it even got to 7. So the scouting, position, basically, or ops were, we got the Heat in our crosshairs. It was like, it's a toss-up. We got to study both of these teams. They probably spent the majority of time on the Miami Heat up until like Sunday afternoon and Monday morning, basically, right? But I don't think we're expecting the Denver Nuggets to come out and be like, okay, they had way too much time off, easy win by the Miami Heat. But at the same time with the Miami Heat, you're shortening up that bench, right? Well, how's that going to play out? You're going into elevation. One of the toughest places to play in the NBA is Denver. Not necessarily because of the crowd, but because of the elements around it. And yeah, the crowd's going to play a part in that. Sure, it's a great home crowd. So when I look at that to myself, I want to say the Denver Nuggets should be able to come out firing on all cylinders. Where maybe you need the decompression there for the Miami Heat to go, whew, man, we just avoided something disastrous here that we would have been on a Jeopardy question for a long time. Trivial Pursuit would have probably made a new game, including us in there. And every single person in NBA history would always get to say, whenever it's a 3-0 series lead, do you remember the Boston Celtics and when they came back on the Miami Heat? Crisis averted at that point. So when I look at this year, I'm not losing any sleep on the Miami Heat, not getting a full week off getting ready for the NBA Finals. They're in Denver right now. They're getting their, you know, time in with the trainer, some ice, some relaxation, knowing that in around 48-plus hours, you're going to be teeing it up for NBA Finals Game 1. And also keep in mind, when you get this long of a journey, you can see the end of the rainbow. And it's right here. You're telling me Jimmy is going to be tired in this game? Nah, Jimmy Butler doesn't do that. Are you telling me Caleb Martin's like, hey, you know what? Use all my special powers up here in this last series against the Boston Celtics. No, that's not correct. And by the way, the Eastern Conference Finals MVP did go to Jimmy Butler. Do you know 9 people voted on that? It was a 5-4 vote between Jimmy Butler and Caleb Martin. How about that? We're going to get into some of the series pricing here in just a few moments, but that tells you how well Caleb Martin played. But let's take a look here at Game 1 of this series. Stop me if you've heard this before. The Miami Heat are on the road in the playoffs. They're catching 9 points. If you just want to money line this game, you have to lay $390 down on the Denver Nuggets to win $100. For the Miami Heat, put out $100 plus $310 coming back to your advantage there. How about that? A total listed at 219.5. By the way, I lost the total last night. I thought it would go over 203.5, even though I've told everybody within earshot. Typically, in the beginning of series, when they start, you're going to get a little bit more open play, a little bit more freedom. Not every single possession technically matters just yet at that point where those high leverage scenarios kick in. 203.5, I said to myself, Donnie, you should be going under. You tell everybody it's an underplay. But an underplay at like 219.5, 214.5, 210.5, not 203.5. Then if you would have told me before that game yesterday with the Heat and the Celtics, oh, by the way, Donnie, the Miami Heat are going to be over 100 points in that game. Sign it up. That should have been an easy victory. But the Miami Heat were so stingy on defense. They held the Boston Celtics to a low on the season in the biggest game you can possibly have on their home court. That was impressive overall. But if I look at that number, are we doubting that? Are we done doubting the Miami Heat? Or are they finally running into what we think is a legitimate championship team in the Denver Nuggets? Now keep in mind, the Miami Heat coming into the playoffs, absolutely zero respect from anybody. Because we thought they would just get bounced in round one by the Milwaukee Bucks. The Denver Nuggets? Ooh, Donnie, number one seed? Yeah, no. Show me somebody who said they had the Denver Nuggets. You might be driving around in your car listening on the app right now, and you might have had the Denver Nuggets saying, you know what? They're getting disrespected. The price point is fantastic for an NBA championship. Let me just see where this goes, and congratulations. But the majority of people out there, including myself, were looking at the Denver Nuggets and just keeping it moving at that point. They have been really good. Every bit of what a number one seed is supposed to be. That series starts Thursday. Can't wait to continue to break it down. And also, is Tyler Hero coming back? Is he? Yeah, maybe he will. We'll be right back. It's Moneyline on a Tuesday after.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
News here on Moneyline that we want to get out there on a Tuesday afternoon. If you're not paying attention here, could this be the end of the dynasty here for the Golden State Warriors? Bob Myers stepping down as head of the front office here and general manager for the Warriors. He was a 2-time executive of the year and the architect of 4 NBA championships with the Warriors. They have a lot of issues on that basketball team. Number one, where are they going to pay Draymond Draymond Green. Is he coming back? Are they looking to move on? What are they going to do with Klay Thompson, Steph Curry? Will they add LeBron James? There are a lot of question marks here for that franchise moving forward. But the guy who's 48 years old and seemingly built that franchise into a championship contender is stepping down. I don't know if that's going to send like shockwaves through the team itself, but it certainly is interesting to where he might wind up, because usually a 48-year-old, not a 78-year-old, doesn't step down from an NBA franchise and a winning one just to say, I want to go home and sit in the pool for a couple years. He might have something in the works right now, so something certainly to keep an eye on. Now, also, if we're taking a look at the NBA, you know, the offseason, as we like to say sometimes, is often more entertaining at times than the playoffs or the postseason, and rightfully so. The money is starting to get out of hand in the NBA, and not in a bad way. Like, congratulations, if you're an NBA player. The amount of money that you can make nowadays is absolutely astronomical. As I brought up talking about the Boston Celtics here and what they are going to do to move forward, because now you can officially talk about it. You were probably thinking you could talk about it after game 4 or 5 or 6, but that wasn't the case, and maybe the Boston Celtics will stick together, and maybe they will. But there are some big question marks on the horizon. Number one is Joe Mazzulla going to be your head coach moving forward? Is he the right guy for the job? Came back against the Philadelphia 76ers, won game 6 on the road, won game 7 at home. Looked like everything was hunky-dory up in Boston. You enter into the Eastern Conference Finals, get smoked in the first 3 games, and then turn on the gas pedal for 3 games before losing in game 7 in your building. So it's almost like you take 2 steps forward and 3 steps back and try to recover from that. Because Tatum and Brown are 2 very good NBA players. Nobody's going to question that. Jason Tatum all season long in the hunt, if you want to call it the hunt, for a MVP. Wasn't really close on the final ballots, I guess you could say. But one of the better players in the NBA, absolutely. Jaylen Brown, a fantastic wingman to have next to you. But for some reason, they just can't win together. That was a very good, should I say, a very solidly constructed Boston team. Now granted, they have a dominant center. No, Williams was fine. Al Horford played above his head right through the Sixers series and was sort of exposed by Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat coming into the Eastern Conference Finals. But when you want to talk about a dilemma waiting for them, when guys advance in their career and they turn in performances that can get them first team All-NBA, second team All-NBA, third team All-NBA, the sky's the limit for what some of these players can actually earn. And it used to be a while ago, when I was talking with Joe Ranieri this morning off air, I was like, man, do you remember the times where it was like, you know, Buddy just signed a 5-year, $110 million extension. I was like, man, that is more money than God at this point. I'm like, oh, look at LeBron James. He's making $21 million or $20 million a year. That's insanity. That's crazy. But he probably deserves it. Jaylen Brown is in line this summer for a max extension. 5 years and close to $300 million. Now, sometimes you have games that we take a look at and say, you know, and maybe unfairly so. Referendum time. Game 7 in Boston yesterday. Jaylen Brown didn't step up. So he's not worth 5 years, $300 million. That's not the way it works. Jaylen Brown's going to get a 5-year extension for $300 million from some team, whether it's not Boston or is Boston at this point. But just seeing some of the eye-popping numbers. And also, it's not as if it's LeBron James or a Michael Jordan or a Kevin Durant back in his prime when he was winning championships with the Warriors, right? Where you say, yeah, I'm going to pay the guy $50 million, $60 million, and we're going to love it because he's a superstar and he's going to lead us to championships. He's not even the best player on his team. And he's eligible for a 5-year, $300 million extension. It's unbelievable how that works out. More power to the NBA players. Their union is obviously strong. But even if you're saying on the outside, like, hey, you know what, let's trade him. And the new team goes, yeah, well, we got to pay him $300 million if he wants to come here. Which, again, is the equivalent to close to $60 million per season. Other talks around the weekend there. Nick Nurse, hired by the Philadelphia 76ers, the ex-Raptors coach, which is very interesting to me. He used to be back in hockey, and I'm going to date myself here. The Buffalo Sabres had Matthew Barnaby on their team for a while. Just a wild guy out there in the ice. All his job was to do was skate around, put his glove in your face, give you hip checks, give you poke checks, give you spears, just antagonize you the entire time to get you off of your game. And as a Philadelphia Flyers fan, you would hate Matthew Barnaby with every ounce of fiber that you had. But if Matthew Barnaby was on your team, you absolutely loved everything about him. The reason I bring that up is, look, certainly Nick Nurse is not Matthew Barnaby, an antagonist whose only thing is to try to get you off your game. But I used to love when the Philadelphia 76ers took on the Toronto Raptors, even particularly last year's playoffs. I believe it was the first round. The Sixers lined up against the Raptors and beat them. Nick Nurse begs for every single call out there. One of those guys, the hate-the-face guys, as we like to say, right? Like, oh, my God, there's Nick Nurse again on a reaching call. He thought it was the worst call in the world, and you watch it on replay, and it was a clear rake across the arm. Of course, it was going to be a foul. But now that the Philadelphia 76ers looking like they're going to get Nick Nurse on their side, I'm going to like it. I'm going to like Nick Nurse asking for every single foul call he could possibly get. I'm really going to like that. So that's the way I leave it with the Sixers. Is it a great signing for a head coach? We'll see. But a solid signing where it's not one that's like, come on, who's that? So that is somewhat comforting here. After years of Brett Brown being horrendous, going to Doc Rivers, who was okay, but now Nick Nurse, can he at least get the Philadelphia 76ers to an Eastern Conference Finals or beyond? That remains to be seen. And also, if he wants James Harden back, he's worked with Daryl Morey in the past, so it's sort of an easy, greased slate for him. Now, one other quick little side note here, as I talked about before the break, heading into the NBA Finals. Tyler Hero, expected to return in the NBA Finals and is targeting Game 3, which is interesting here, right? I remember going back. I didn't have any wagers outside of the Phoenix Suns in the NBA. Game one, which was the Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo took a hard, spill to the floor in the first half and was announced he wasn't coming back for the game. So you figure, hey, that's advantage here, Miami Heat. They were playing well in the first half, even with Giannis in the game. What's going to take place now? You saw a collision sort of at midcourt and, falling down on his wrist was Tyler Hero. Well, he gets an x-ray. It's announced that he broke his wrist and he's not going to be able to play probably for the remainder of the NBA playoffs. And right away I said at the end of that game, now there's a little bit of value here on the Milwaukee Bucks to win the championship. I thought they were clearly the most talented team, and if they were just going to be able to get by the Miami Heat, which they should have easily, now without, one of their better scorers and players in Tyler Hero, even though they lost game one, the Milwaukee Bucks to the Miami Heat, I thought it would have been a valid bet to put in. It wasn't a valid bet. They also lost Victor Oladipo, so they're down two guards in that rotation. They even had a game where they didn't have Gabe Vincent, and still were able to win against the Boston Celtics in this series. But how do you bring him back if you're Eric Spoelstra? And no, Eric Spoelstra's not going to say, hey, why don't you sit this one out, buddy? Hey, Tyler, stay back at Club LIV and back in the city. We don't need you here. You can relax, take your time. We're playing just fine. We got to the NBA Finals without you. That's not going to happen. But also, Tyler Hero is not going to come back into the starting lineup and jack up 25 shots a game. That's really not what's going to take place. But the one thing you do like here, number one, and you see, targeting game three, which means he could be back sooner. It's one of those things with Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers. When he got his injury, when is he going to come back? Well, he came back sooner than later. Missed game one against the Boston Celtics, which they won that game, the Philadelphia 76ers. So now you're saying, what do we get out of Tyler Hero? It can't hurt people. Because let's just say you have two games out in Denver. I don't know how they're going to turn out. Two games in Miami. I don't know how they're going to turn out. But let's just say there is a game five, right? Nobody's going to sweep. Tyler Hero getting his feet under him in Miami games three and four is massive. Because you're talking about an athlete that is a microwave scorer. Put minigame coach. Dribble drive, I don't even care. Just get me some spot-up jumpers. I'll knock them down. You need shots, I got shots. That's the type of player Tyler Hero is. But also, he hasn't played in a while. And he broke a bone in his wrist of his shooting hand, which you know what that means. Over the time that he spent working on his game, he couldn't shoot the basketball. Could he run? Yeah. Could he work on his footwork? Absolutely. Could he dribble with his offhand? Sure, he could do that. But the one thing he couldn't do is what he does best. Let me line up, pull up from three, and see if I can start splashing shots by the hundreds on a random afternoon. So he had probably had to wait weeks on end before he was actually given the green light to get the cast off and start shooting jumpers, right? And also, how's that feel? Because we know as a streak shooter, anybody out there played basketball before in the past, being a decent shooter? Boy, when you're in rhythm, it feels good. When you can practice, get your shots up, it feels good. But you go on vacation or spring break for 5 or 6 days, you come back to the gym, you're a little bit winded, that shot's not falling, you're trying to find your rhythm once again. And that's what it's going to take here for Tyler Hero. But it's good to see that even for a lift, because your teammates love that. It's not so much that they think Tyler Hero is going to come back in game three and shoot 12 of 17 from the floor, which includes 4 made three-point shots, and away you go. Thanks for coming back and returning Tyler Hero. It's seeing him in uniform and giving you that boost. And also, if you're playing game five back in Denver, Colorado, by the way, I think I'm wrong on this too still. Is it still a 2-3-2? Doing some checking here in this real quick. Because I'm anticipating game five like it used to be, but I know the NBA always had that 2-3-2. Let me just go see. Let's see. Game three is Wednesday the 7th in Miami. Game four is Friday the 9th in Miami. And then Monday the 12th is back. See, okay, they changed it up. Good. So I forget. I forget how long ago they did that, but it sort of tripped me up for a second. So it still is the 2-2-1-1-1 format, which is much better than the 2-3-2. That's ridiculous. And the only reason they even did it back in the day was because the Lakers and the Boston Celtics were playing each other so much, and it was hard to get the cameras back and forth across the country. So they figured we're only going to make that one trip here and hopefully one trip there. And if we need one trip back, that's fine. We're not going to go 2-2 and then 1-1-1 back across the country. So it's good to see that now with the advent of, you know, actually getting planes that you can charter and easy mobility of getting the cameras back and forth here. But the reason I brought that up again was games three and four, getting your legs under you, getting your shots up here to see if they work. Game five, you should be back in rhythm just in time to go back to Denver. Now, does anybody think that the Nuggets are actually going to come out here in a clean sweep over the Miami Heat? Or are the Miami Heat going to do the improbable and win the first three games once again against the Denver Nuggets? And see if they can close that out in game four in Miami. That should be one to watch. But for a team that really is technically offensively challenged, like the Miami Heat were during the regular season, I thought it would be the death nail. I thought that would be one more strike of a nail into the casket early on in the playoffs for the Miami Heat. And it wasn't the case. Everybody is stepping up as if we shouldn't have doubted that or even expected everybody to step up. Just the way it is. That's Heat culture. We'll be back. It's Moneyline Tuesday afternoon. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick little segment here before we hit the top of the hour and hour number two in your phone calls. If you want to get through at 844-843-6879. The NBA Finals are a few days off. So today's Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday. Thursday, they get back into action on the court. So now's the time to find out where JP is going. It is Major League Baseball season, as JP likes to say now. So JP, first of all, I don't even remember. Like, you weren't on the show for a Thursday. Did you? What was your prop, I guess, or what did you give out heading into Friday last week or Thursday night?
You know, it's fantastic, and I'm looking through the wagers, and there was a lot of action this weekend, so I'm not finding it.
All right, so we'll move on to today. Now, there's two choices he can make. There's a big Major League Baseball slate tonight, obviously, that he can dip into, or is he going to wait till Thursday's action here in the NBA to get it started with a future side total? I mean, all the prop bets are up at this point for game number one. Which way are we going, Major League Baseball or the NBA?
I'm going to go back to the baseball tonight, and I'm going to go to a total.
All right, so we're going to go to a total tonight in Major League Baseball. Now, also, I just need a quick hint before the break comes up on what this total might actually be. So let me just see. Is it going to be a game that starts, let's see, let me just get the time frames up here. Okay, 6:40. All right. Are we going to have a game that starts before 8 o'clock or in the 8 o'clock hour or later?
We're going to have one that gets started before 8.
before 8 o'clock. So that would be the Padres, Marlins, Rangers, Tigers, Guardians, Orioles, Brewers, Blue Jays, Phillies, Mets, Reds, Red Sox, Royals, St. Louis Cardinals here. Okay. So a total in one of those games. Could it be Cleveland and Baltimore? I came yesterday 5-0. Texas, who seems to put up at least 5 runs on everybody every single game. Martin Perez, not a great pitcher there. San Diego, Miami, probably not, unless he's going under in that one. Kansas City smoked St. Louis yesterday. Did they bounce back there? Could it be up there in Boston with Cincinnati? Lively's on the mound. He's got some decent numbers, or maybe terrible Ranger Suarez versus struggling Senga here. Interesting stuff. Hour number two up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.